Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did you ever think we'd be playing this game?
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Let's play What Would You Do? That's right. An exciting round of What Would You Do? Never thought we'd have to put ourselves in this scenario. What was once unimaginable is now an increasing reality. You go out to eat, you go into a public place, and you get downright harassed. While the sound on this is a wee bit muddy, nevertheless, it will give you the sense of what it must feel like to be sitting out at dinner with your honey when you are approached inside of a private place, somebody's restaurant, and you are told you must make a sign, a fist sign, demonstrating that you support Black Lives Matter, not the slogan, the organization. And if you don't, we are going to shame you. Please note, as best you can hear in this little snippet, it's fascinating that the harasser are calling, asking the harassees, "Are you a Christian?" Remember, you're just sitting in a restaurant, sitting outside of a restaurant, and a mob storms you. Waiter, might I have some more water, please? Oh, waiter, salt at the table, if you'd be so kind. Oh, did he catch that? Are you a Christian?
Just came out.
I wish I knew the context of that question. Nevertheless, let's play.
You be the judge.
What would you do?
Are you asking us?
Oh, I'm asking all of us to consider. What would you do? You are sitting there minding your own beeswax, and this happens. This is a scenario that I think can help us in two ways. Number one, it might be reality for you. Number two, it might just help us to think through how we respond to persecution, because this resembles that. Now, this might be that they're going at a table because they're Christians. I doubt that's happening. But how are you going to respond should this happen to you? Perhaps you saw another scenario: a fellow's going to get gasoline, and a crowd blocks him. So he just keeps pushing his big old pickup truck right through until he gets to the pump. And then they yell at him, as they're slamming on his truck, "How dare you drive through a peaceful protest?"
Yeah.
You know, words have meanings. And I don't think that word means what you think it means. Peaceful protest is not keeping somebody from their destination. Yeah. So what would you do? Gentlemen, you're out with your honeys. And they approach your table demanding put up a fist to identify with the organization Black Lives Matter, which is not a good organization.
Absolutely not a good organization. But I want to give the spiritual answer and say that I would give grace, but I'm not quite sure that I could in that moment.
Well, I think that's the place to start. Yeah. I think, first of all, we need to remember, wait a second. In all scenarios, I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I can also look at his life and recognize he took a shellacking. Now, I grant you, he was about some eternal business. There were times when Paul fled. There were times when he got whooped. So I agree with at least your starting place, Jimmy. I need to remember, even if I'm being harassed, yelled at, my dinner is being interrupted, we were talking about something important, I still represent Christ, even as I'm being screamed at while I'm having dinner. Would you do anything in response, or would you just eat your food?
Yeah, and I think that's the point is, you know, as bad as the video seems, there was no imminent danger, it seemed like, to the people other than just being screamed at.
Yeah, but you never know what's going to happen in a situation,
okay, here we go.
Especially Alrighty. With things going on in our country today. I mean, for me, if I'm out with my wife, it's definitely... okay, where's their safety? You know, protection of myself, my spouse, maybe possibly we have our kids with us. We've seen plenty of videos where kids are present, you know, and I have a responsibility to care for them.
Okay, I think that's a valid point number two, and that is we are called to protect those that are in our care. I'm not called immediately to protect those around me as much. If I've got choices to make, it's going to be my wife and kids. That's my priority. By the way, you should note there is a difference between Jimmy and Mike. And the difference that might be coming out as we try to figure out what we should do in a crazy scenario like this. Mike, how long were you in the military?
For 8 years.
Okay. Seriously.
Yes.
Is it possible that your military experience perhaps is a pre-understanding that you bring to this conversation?
It might possibly
be. It could be.
Yes.
All right. So you're sitting there. You want to protect them. Mm-hmm. Jimmy says, hey, it doesn't look like there's imminent danger involved here. So I'm certainly being inconvenienced. It is a nuisance. I think I want to not get angry at the business owner. I think that I probably want to feel bad for the guy or gal. I don't think that I want to go after them for not keeping me safe. Mike,
yep.
Would you stand up and confront the people yelling at you?
I'm going to stand my ground, but I'm going to stand on truth. I certainly don't want to retaliate. I'm not going to go swinging at nobody, but I'm not going to sit there and take the yelling and the harassment or maybe even the accusations of things that may be false just because possibly the color of my skin or just by virtue of not supporting a movement like Black Lives Matter.
Is this really a hill to die on?
It's not. It's not a hill I'm going to go die on.
But you're willing to stand up?
I am willing to stand up.
And do what?
And speak truth.
Escalate it?
Not escalate. Try to de-escalate. De-escalation, I think, is what we all should be striving for.
Yeah, the trick is, I think that...
Because here's the thing, I think there's good conversation to be had amongst both parties, but it's hard to have a conversation
when
there's
say,
nothing but shouting and
who
yelling.
Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
This isn't really about having conversations. This is about intimidation. This is a great example of precisely what is happening in our culture. It has very little to do with race, by the way. Just my observation was watching some of the footage from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Don't know if you've ever been there. Wisconsin, no. As a rule, is just plain nice. It's bucolic. You don't expect what we're seeing in the news. Kenosha is a lovely place, but the disruption that is going on there, the peaceful protesting that's burning down buildings, most of the people that I saw protesting were white.
Yes.
I actually started to like, okay, wait a second. I'm seeing that now there is a black person. There's another black person. The majority of them, interestingly to me, were white. I don't know how much of this really has to do with racial issues. I can't know everybody's heart in that scenario, but I can say pretty confidently this issue is being used for a much more profound reason, and that is to tear down culture by causing division and intimidation. And that is what would be done to you as you sit there getting screamed at. Question number two, scenario number two. Your wife is driving around doing this or that, now the car gets swarmed, banging on the car, which is wrecking your property, and they're threatening you. Apparently now they're using lasers to shine them in your eyes
to disorient you,
to blind you, which it actually can do.
It can.
Nevertheless, what do you gentlemen instruct your wife to do?
Yeah, this is a really tricky topic. And my wife and I have talked about this before. And I want her to protect herself. I want to protect my family. And so the thing that I recommend is obviously assess the situation, but I'm telling her if things get out of hand, people start banging on windows or smashing windows, banging on the car and trying to pull them out, I'm telling her she needs to get out of there.
All right. Now, at what speed does she need to get out of there?
Well, I'm not asking her to go full force, run people over and you know, gun it, but I'm telling her she needs to start trying to edge her way,
push her way through.
Yeah,
I think so too. If it is getting quite obvious that harm is intended, we are called upon to make sure that we keep our family members safe. And I think instructing one another, be wise. We don't want to hurt people, but progressively start pushing your way out of there. And unfortunately, yeah, you might have a dinged up car. You might have an insurance claim that you've got to deal with, but that's better than gunning it and hurting somebody. So do what you need to do to protect people and keep yourself safe. And unfortunately, these days, it's the era that we're living in. You might end up with a bruised car, but it's better than bruising other people and having yourself bruised. Aren't these interesting times that we're living in, that we're even having this conversation? You would think that we were in a different country. Zoinks, Scoob. This is Wretched Radio. And now, a story from Dr. John MacArthur.
When I began preaching many years ago, expositional messages, they started circulating the earth on cassette tape. Pretty soon, I started getting invitations from places all around the world to preach there. And people said, "We haven't heard preaching like this. Can you teach us how?" And eventually, they would say, "Can you stay and start a school and train our pastors?" And now it's developed into maybe 35 different places where the graduates of the Master's Seminary have now set up training schools to train pastors around the world. And it's expanding to the point where I think we have 50 cities waiting for us to come and do the same thing there.
Specifically waiting for you to consider adopting a seminary overseas. Master Seminary graduates equipping men to fill pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. It's a magnificent ministry. Encourage you to learn more and consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you so much for listening today to Wretched Radio. We love hearing from each and every one of you, whether you send us an email at idea@wretched.org or you leave us a voicemail on Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Let me share one of our most recent notes with you. "Hey, Wretched, thanks for all the work you do. You have helped my husband and I gain a wider spectrum of resources we can trust and utilize in our personal lives. God bless you, Wretched team. Thanks to our gospel partners, stories like these are possible. After taking care of your family obligations and supporting your local church, if you're able to join us as a gospel partner, we would be grateful for your support. We ask that you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner, and you can know that your faithful and consistent support will help reach millions of people all over the world. In fact, 83% of every single dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Visit wretched.org/donate for all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel."
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is everybody like that? This is Wretched Radio, perhaps, just maybe, because the intention of our current culture war is to divide, to cause dissension. It is the strategy of critical theory, aka Marxism. Is it possible that the division that is being just stoked so intensely has actually worked on you, and you've come to the conclusion that's how everybody on that side must be? This is Wretched Radio. In order to strive to not have a heart that is filled with bitterness and dissension, and to fall victim to Satan's schemes and wiles, there's the conspiracy theory. If you are one who is prone to conspiracy theories, here's one that is true. The devil is a schemer, and we need to be aware of them. We need to know that he is working constantly. His time is short. He hates Christ, and he hates his Christ ones, and he will do anything to cause you to be a hater, because he loves it. Loves it! When you are sinfully angry against somebody, for any reason, frankly, but in this context, because of skin color or because of an attitude or because of a history, the devil absolutely titters. That's right. The devil titters. I got him to sin and hate because I'm a hater, and I love hate so much that I enjoy it when Christians hate. Perhaps because you have been bombarded with all of the messages of the social justice movement, that you really, really are becoming suspicious and quite distrusting and maybe angry, maybe even bordering on hating the other side. And by that, I mean somebody of a different skin color, because those are the sides that we are being forced to take. We're defining cultural issues by skin color. What was once thought ridiculous, that was the very thing that the social rights movement of the 60s was all about. Not skin color, not skin color. Today it's all about skin color. Why? Because it's all about dividing so that society and culture can be torn down, so that they can rebuild it in the image of Karl Marx. Sorry, that's what is going on. And by the way, I heard a senator from Missouri. His name is, it's a good name. It's a stout name. I've never heard of the fellow before. And he's a whippersnapper. It was really interesting because the camera moved around him and it got the side of his head, and I could still see the wetness behind his ear. I'm telling you, the dude is young. And I looked him up because it's like, he's got to be a Christian. Guys, look for the senator of the state of Missouri. It's not that young kid who's running for Congress in North Carolina, that 25-year-old who's in a wheelchair. It's the senator from the great state of Missouri, who is clearly a Christian by profession. Okay, I Googled and looked it up. He goes to a Presbyterian church. He just flat out said, this is Marxism. And it is. Now, the people that are doing the things that they're doing to divide so that it can be torn down and conquered and then rebuilt, they're probably not thinking like that, but they're being used like that for a much bigger strategy. And this is not a conspiracy theory. This is Marxist theory. This is particularly Gramscian Marxist theory, and we're seeing it played out. This isn't, no. This is playbook stuff. You got him?
Joshua Hawley.
That's the fellow right there. Sharp young man. I'm telling you, just really smart and sharp and clear. And he stated it quite plainly. This is Marxism. So this is currently setting up, not as a vote between two parties that have differing views on tax rates or any sort of particular fracking issue. No. This is either good old-fashioned representative republic or Marxism. Thank you, sir, for putting it plainly. And maybe you are increasingly you've jumped into the stream unwittingly, because it's so easy to do, because they're stoking us. They're trying to get us to hate one another. And we are called as Christians, even as dumb as these ideologies are, to continue to love people. Maybe this will help if you're white. I just hate that. Can I just tell you, I've been been talking now for 5 minutes and 17 seconds and have been avoiding trying to say that because I disdain these categories that we are forced to use. But these are the boxes that they're putting us in. And maybe, just maybe, because of what you're consuming, what you're seeing, what you're being fed, you are watching all of these stories, and it is all about, your assumption is it's all black people that are doing bad things in cities. Well, I'll tell you, my observation is it's a lot of white people that are doing it too. Nevertheless, maybe, just maybe, this will help your heart a little bit. You know the story in Kenosha. A young man, the details will come out in a court of law, which is where they need to come out, was shot by police officers, which was the spark that lit the fuse in Kenosha. Frankly, the fuse is actually lit everywhere. This is just the gasoline that gets thrown on it. The family of the young man, Jacob Blake, who died, was being interviewed by all people, Don Lemon. I don't think Mr. CNN was expecting her response. She said, quote, "My family and I are very hurt and quite frankly disgusted. And as his mother, please don't burn up property and cause havoc and tear your own homes down in my son's name." Wow, I'll bet.
That's exactly right.
I'll bet poor Don's head was ready to crack up. All right, we got to go to a breaking news. Please give me a breaking news story. Get me out of here. This woman was begging people to not respond sinfully. Quote, "You shouldn't do it. People shouldn't do it anyway, but to use my child or any other mother or father's child, our tragedy, to react in that manner is just not acceptable. And it's not helping Jacob. It's not helping Jacob or any other of the men or women who has suffered in these areas." Salute to that mom and dad. Don't you want to pray for that mom and dad? They get ripped. They live in Kenosha. That is not the place where you tend to live if you're looking to be famous or to be embroiled in controversy. They were pulled into it. Their son, I don't know the backstory of the young man. It's not the point. They don't want him used to make a point. You don't use violence to state your claim. Not every black person is feeling the way that perhaps you perceive they are feeling. Not every black, in fact, I can tell you statistically, if any of these polls are correct, over 80% of black people, they want more police, not less police. Come on. It's obvious. They're not dumb. Everybody gets it. Duh. Take away the police and the prisons. Are you kidding me? So this, I think, is representative of more people than perhaps you and I suspect. Perhaps. And maybe, just maybe, that will help your heart. And maybe, just maybe, that will change your suspicion if it's growing inside of you that every person you walk by with a different skin color hates you. Because that really is the narrative that is being peddled, isn't it? They just hate white people. And clearly white people hate black people. That's the presupposition in the whole thing.
Yep.
That white people feel they're superior and they automatically hate black people and they just want to subjugate them. That is this entire foundation. And you and I are dragged into it, and you might be getting the sense that that's just the way everybody thinks. And it's not. And it's not. And I know that as I walk down the sidewalk and I see somebody of a different skin color, I am not going to allow my brain to be fit into the narrative that bad people want me to believe. There used to be a day, and it was not that long ago. I know this is entirely subjective, but this is my story. And these days, my story trumps, well, virtually everything and anything.
Your subjective truth is truth.
But I'm telling you, and I've talked to enough people where I don't think that I'm an anecdote. When we moved to Atlanta, I was stunned at how well it worked. and how kind it was. I worked in a building with 270 people, half black, half white. And it worked gloriously. And people were so kind and loving, as if we were all making an effort to demonstrate, hey, I don't have an issue with you. That's changed. And there's a reason that it's changed, perhaps in your heart, because that is the agenda. It is to get you to hate. Now, that's the political agenda, but that's also the devil's agenda. Be aware of his wiles and schemes. He's a liar. He's a hater. And I believe we are being lied to in an effort to stoke hate. And perhaps this dear couple in Kenosha, Wisconsin, is one anecdote of many that will help you to not buy the lie and hate. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, on Monday, a federal judge blocked a first-of-its-kind Idaho law that prevents biological males who identify as female from playing on girls' or women's teams, saying the new law is likely unconstitutional. The act was passed after two transgender athletes in Connecticut who are biologically male but identify as female won 15 girls' state track titles. Lindsay Hecox brought the case. Hecox is a transgender athlete who intends to try out for Boise State University's track and cross-country teams. U.S. District Judge David C. Nye said that, quote, if Lindsay is denied the opportunity to try out for and compete on BSU's women's teams, she will permanently lose a year of NCAA eligibility that she can never get back. Lindsay is also subject to an act that communicates the state's moral disapproval of her identity, which the Constitution prohibits. The Justice Department brief pointed favorably to the bill's text, which says psychological differences exist between men and women that make them generally stronger and faster and generally give men a significant advantage in head-to-head competition. Putting male athletes up against females is simply not fair because it changes the nature and dynamics of sport for young women. In just 1 year alone, 275 high school boys ran faster times than the lifetime best of world champion sprinter Allison Felix. What is the world coming to? Well, the ongoing battle between Grace Community Church and Los Angeles County officials continues as Pastor John MacArthur states that he and his congregation have a moral and religious obligation to allow their attendants to gather and worship the Lord. Pastor MacArthur has argued, stating that, quote, this church is the core of life for thousands from nursery to seniors. Our church is not an event center. It's a family of lives who love and care for each other in very intensely personal ways. So essential to personal well-being that people rushed back as soon as they could. The utter unnecessary deprivation of all of our people by completely shutting down the mutual love and care that sustains our people and all of the pressures and challenges of life was cruel. And after 63 years of sacrificial kindness to our city, to be repeatedly threatened with court order efforts to shut Grace Community Church down when no one is sick reveals an inexplicable preference to a mostly harmless virus over the life-enriching and necessary fellowship of the church. End quote. MacArthur feels that the California government is intentionally attacking the church and said to his congregation to not buy into the narrative that the orders set in place by Governor Gavin Newsom were for safety reasons. He goes on to say that within the congregation there isn't a sick individual or anyone who has gone to the hospital throughout the pandemic period. Well, Vice President Mike Pence laid out a clear case for re-electing President Donald Trump and himself to another 4 years in the White House. He pledged to continue working to make America great, and he pointed out the stark differences between Trump and himself and the pro-abortion Democratic opponents they face. Pence said, quote, the choice in this election has never been clearer and the stakes have never been higher. When you consider their agenda, it's clear Joe Biden would be nothing more than a Trojan horse for a radical left. Pence urged pro-life Americans to join him and President Trump to secure another term and stop the Biden abortion agenda. This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Apostle of our Confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Story time! And it's not a good one. But it is helpful. This is Wretched Radio. Let's leave their names out of it because that is not the point of this sad story of a couple who decided to adopt a child from China and has been discovered to have unadopted their child. They have rehomed the child and they are taking an internet beating. Why do I want to leave their names out of it? I don't know the story. I don't know the details. And even though the story that I read, called Unadopted from thecut.com, is thorough, it's 15 pages long, nevertheless, I don't know their hearts, I don't know what was going on, and I do not care to judge them. They were influencers. That's apparently the title that you're given these days if you have some sort of internet presence. I don't know if it's just the family realm, but apparently there is a burgeoning number of influencers in the family realm, where you track what they're doing, they post what's happening, the trips to the park, how they're parenting, what's going on in life. And they are apparently something of an expert trying to help other people. And so it is with this particular couple. They had a number of bio kids, but they expressed that they wanted to adopt a child. And so they did, from China. And they ended up intentionally choosing a special needs child. In China, there are two levels of kids, presumably, that you can adopt. There are those that have some minor needs, and there are those that have some truly large special needs. They chose the latter. So they went in with their eyes open, with as much information as was provided to them, although it appears not everything was fully disclosed. Nevertheless, they brought this child home. They talked all about it. We saw the trip on the YouTube machine. Everybody's happy. We see the kid in the videos, but increasingly you see less and less of the child until the child is gone. Now the couple has made a video saying, tearfully, the child is no longer in our family. We had to rehome this child, and they are taking a beating. I bring this up without their names because there are details in this story that the evangelical community needs to be aware of. It is evangelicals that adopt more than any other demographic, period. And so the next time a liberal tells you, well, are you willing to take care of them once they're born? The answer is yeah. Yeah, we are, actually, because we are the number one adopting demographic. And yet it has been my experience that every time I read an article, every time I hear a sermon or a presentation in a church encouraging people to adopt, it is a full-throated, it is the best thing that you will ever do, ever. Now, it might be in the sense that you rescue a human being from a horrid scenario, but it does not come without issues, and it doesn't come without challenges, and there's been a failure to fully disclose what those challenges are. To this couple's credit, they tried to show some of them, but it is obvious based on this story, because they reached the end of their rope and they gave the child to another family to raise, to break the adoption. That's pretty extraordinary stuff, because it was far worse than what they were revealing. And that is my issue with the evangelical message. We need to be honest about what goes on. For I would say most, if not all, homes, to varying degrees from the story about this couple, the mother said, we would start to vlog and maybe the little boy will go into a full-blown tantrum. And we don't know how to parent that tantrum because it's just out of control. And then we're just like, I want to turn the camera off because I'm so sad and I'm not doing a good job. There is so much in that little statement. Number one, this is not bad parenting. This couple has bio kids. They look like a sweet family. And this little boy behaved differently and quite violently and threateningly. And this is not, in my opinion, an instance of the contemporary parenting that never confronts the kids. Okay, so I love saying this. My daughter and son-in-law... That's still kind of fresh for me right there, the son-in-law business. Nevertheless, they were flying back from their honeymoon. They got to go on one. Thank you, Costco. And they're coming back, and in front of them is a woman who's clearly, you know, the head's turning a lot because she's agitated. Why? Because right behind my daughter and son-in-law. Yeah, I really like saying that, is a mom and a dad. The dad totally oblivious. Classic. The dad's not in the game. Classic. And the kid is screaming, yelling, crying. The woman in front said, finally snaps, "Hey, your kid's out of control." And the woman said, "Well, why don't you just tell me to my face?" "I just did. Your kid's out of control." "Well, you try to control. You can't control a baby." The kid was 2. This is classic. I remember being at a Starbucks and the same thing. The kid's out of control. Dad is oblivious. Mom is trying to do it. He's doing important things, you know, besides being a dad.
Right.
And the dude next to me from New Jersey, you could tell, "Hey, you're going to get that kid under control." And the woman responds, "And I suppose you don't want women to ever leave the home and work, do you?" Whoa. Hello. That escalated. "Don't you want women to vote?" "Alrighty. Just thought maybe you could get your kid on." This is not that. This was a little boy that they couldn't control. And notice her response. I felt like I wasn't doing a good job. It is noteworthy that what many, perhaps most, possibly all parents who adopt a child will have to learn how to deal with tantrums and fits unlike anything they've ever experienced on a very consistent basis. And you should know that if you're thinking about adopting. You should know that. This is not a discouragement to adopt. This is a discouragement to know what you can expect.
And that's what was difficult, Todd, about that story was, you know, as they vlogged through this, you know, they understood the issues with the special needs. They were aware of that. They were ready for that. One of the big issues they ran into was no one prepared them for, yes, there might be tantrums, but these aren't just normal my 2-year-old kid type tantrums. Nobody prepared them for that.
And this couple got hammered by it. And this is not to, if you are prepared to handle it. And here's what this article also revealed in somewhat subtle ways, that they thought it wouldn't be that bad. And they thought they could handle it and their love would take them through. Now, they made that decision based on the information that they had, but not on the information they didn't have. And that is my point. You should not think, well, maybe that will happen to us, and if it does, it won't be so bad that we can't handle it. I believe that your attitude should be, that is going to happen to us. It is going to be worse than we can imagine. Now, are we equipped to handle it? Especially if you have bio kids in the house. The article is loaded with revealing statements that the kids literally were in danger because of this little boy. That's more than a tantrum. Back to the article. The mom shared their struggles with various parenting publications and maintained the challenges were worth the rewards. This is another detail that needs to be disclosed. When you read adoption stories, many times you are going to hear a very shiny face. Why? Because if you don't, people will do to you what they did to this couple. They'll hammer you. "You're a terrible parent." Quote from the mom. "My son has taught me to love completely and unconditionally, regardless of circumstances and without expectations." Oh, it sounds, it's such a picture of the gospel. Indeed it is. And indeed these things must happen. But it is not at a small cost. The article was accompanied by a photo of the mom gently kissing the son in the sunlight, her blonde blowout falling over her shoulders, her son's small hand holding the lapel of her vest. And in the meantime, behind the scenes, mom and dad are being terrorized, and so are the kids. As the months went on, the little boy began to appear less frequently in the vlogs. The family attempted to explain why the child wasn't as prominent. Mom said he was often having meltdowns. Dad made a video that addressed why they sometimes treated that one differently. Their adopted son went to bed before the other children because, well, he's developmentally younger and he still needs more sleep, but because he required extra attention during the day. And this schedule gave mom and dad time to spend with their other children. The amount of time that goes into trying to take care of a child who acted like this robs the other children. And so they put the kid to bed so that they could spend some quality time with one another and with their kids. That is a disclosure that is not often given to parents with bio kids who are trying to do a wonderful thing, adopt. And it is a wonderful thing, but please note, go in with eyes wide open. And if this little article has not perhaps persuaded you to believe that will be us, oh boy, the story is just warming up. Next on Wretched Radio. This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism. And very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
129 people commit suicide in the United States each and every day. We all know someone who is in desperate need of help. And as Christians, we have the answer that the world fails to provide. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is Wretched's newest resource, and it tackles this very topic. Next month, September, is National Suicide Awareness Month. Would you visit wretched.org/13 to order your copies of 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide, and then commit to handing them out to as many lost and hurting people as you can. Every year, 1 million people take their own lives. As a matter of fact, did you know suicide is the third leading cause of death among millennials? It's such an epidemic around the world, and as Christians, we have the word of life, and we should share it with a world that desperately needs it. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. Available now at wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
And now, a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Full disclosure, that is all we should ask for. Full disclosure, this is Wretched Radio, a very public story about a very public couple. They were vloggers, they were influencers, they were parents of several bio kids, and they wanted to do a Christ-like thing and adopt a child from China. And so they did. Their hits grew, their followers increased, and so did their woes, because this child turned out to be a challenge beyond their ability to handle. What did they end up doing? Breaking the adoption and rehoming the child. There are lessons to be learned from this story. And if you're thinking, well, not for me, because I don't plan on adopting a child. You need to hear this because somebody in your church has, or they're gonna. And you need to know this so that you can help them. I don't know that it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a church to help raise an adopted child. This is a line that I would ask you to not cross. If you're thinking about adopting, if you go to your church and if they are not willing to commit to you and to that child and perhaps to your bio children for the rest of their lives to help them, to surround them, to support them, to work for them, you're in trouble. You need the help of your church, period. You need your church to support you when you adopt, because I do believe another rule, I'm sure there might be an exception here or there, but another rule would be, do not think this might happen to you. Believe it will happen to you, that you will get a child that acts and has emotions and behaviors that are so extraordinarily unusual that it will strain every fiber of who you are. Believe that's going to happen to you. And if you conclude, I'm in, I'm doing, we are prepared, we are equipped because we can. We're strong in our faith. We have church support. We have family support. And we maybe even have the financial means to buy help if necessary. Then you go for it. Adoption is a picture of the gospel, and it is a wonderful thing, but it is also a challenging thing. And the evangelical church has not been, frankly, in my opinion, honest about the subject. I'm thinking of a very high-profile evangelical who loves to promote adoption because he's adopted. And I've read the glowing reviews about adoption, and there have been a couple of times when I've seen a line of, well, sure, there can be challenges. Whoa, there can be. No, there will be, and there are, and they are profound. Let's return to the story of a couple who unadopted their child. The sheriff's office report.
Wow.
Okay, this just escalated.
You went from some problems in the home to
sheriff's to office sheriff's report. Office. Well, this is because they rehomed the child. They did it in a public way. And so people, which they called the police on them. That, by the way, is something that you need to note also. That this child that you bring into your life will require different kind of parenting that many people will look at and go, that's not right, because they can't understand, they don't understand, and they'll call the police on you. That's the reality. Do you remember the story? It's been a couple of years since we shared a long blog of a couple in Texas. They had several bio kids. They adopted several kids from Africa, and similar things were happening in their home. And their church came to visit them, and they thought, oh, good, finally they're going to help. They sat them down on the couch and said, we're watching you. And if we continue being suspicious of you, we're calling the authorities. These people were drowning, trying to do a good thing. And because many people do not understand the issue of reactive attachment disorder, they just assume it's always the parents. And so the police were called. By the way, this couple, if you're interested, there were no monkey business, no foul treatment of the child. The police checked it out. Everything was done on the up and up. They did the legal channels. Everything was done correctly. But nevertheless, the sheriff's office report later revealed the extent of this family's struggles. It detailed how the couple had hired a full-time caregiver for the child. Oh, so the vlog, hey, look at us. We got it all under control here. It's all good. They had hired help for the adopted child. Granted, the child had special needs, but I'm talking about the reactive attachment disorder needs, which was very expensive. To prevent what authorities say was what the parents described as the child's severe aggression towards the other children. If you have bio kids and you adopt, you are not the only one who will pay a price. Now, you're going to think this sounds terribly awful, but you do need to consider your other children that are presently in your care first, because they're presently in your care first. They said they tried to get him additional support, including 7 months of applied behavior analysis therapy. None of that monkey business works. Cognitive behavioral therapy doesn't work. But that the behaviors, throwing toys, removing registers from the floors, and hitting the other children with them, continued to escalate. Several people who had agreed to watch the little boy quit. One of the families told family members told the investigators that the little boy's outbursts were traumatizing for the other kids. In March, she used the hashtags, the mom used the hashtags, hashtag adoption trauma and hashtag reactive attachment disorder. If you're thinking about adopting, you need to Google reactive attachment disorder and read as many blogs as you can, and you need to put yourself in their shoes. That will be your story. And if you can handle it, rock on. You've got your church's support. Beautiful. Go for it. But if you read those stories and go, wait, what? They do what with their bowel movements? What? They do what with their food? Huh? If that is something that you can't handle, you're probably not ready. Reactive attachment disorder. Those are the key words. Later on Instagram, mom apologized for being so naive when she'd started the adoption process. I was not selective or fully equipped or prepared. I received 1 day of watching at-home online video training. That summarizes my point. You need more than that. And you can't imagine it might or think it won't. You must believe it will. And there are people who can handle it. There are. Then go for it. And everybody should support them and help them, because it will be a hard road for them. And we'll celebrate it and rejoice and watch it and know that these kids can be healed, but it is not through cognitive behavioral therapy. In adoption message boards, other parents struggling with their adopted children have posted about feeling as though agencies had falsified reports or misled them about the severity of their child's needs. Just assume that's going on. Oh, not ours. Not our representatives. She's very nice. I'm sure she is. She might not have all of the information. Let's just assume they're not being intentionally deceptive. They just don't know. They don't disclose it. You need to trust it. Still, other adoptive parents have described situations that seem to echo this family's. The sense of hopelessness. In her memoir, The Best of Us, Joyce Maynard describes adopting 2 girls from Ethiopia and then just over a year later placing them with another family whose mother she met during the adoption process. Quote, with an ignorance that staggers me now, ignorance and some arrogance, that is an honest statement, I had believed my love would be there like an eternal flame. The Bengals were going to help? And this love of mine would fix whatever had been broken in my daughter's lives. When this proved not to be the case, that the road to attachment would be a long one, she describes it as, quote, the most profound sense of despair I had ever known. Are you ready for that? Then adopt.
Yeah.
You're not.
I think that's where a lot of it is, because we have a very close friends of ours, similar situation that you've just read about, and that's what they think. They thought the love was going to carry them through all the issues that they had read about, and it just never latched on. It was a heartbreaking story.
Now, that raises a question. Is there any hope? Is there anything that can rescue these children from themselves and their trauma and their wounding and their incorrect wiring? And the Christian answer to that is a screaming yes! Absolutely there is, and I've seen it. And in my estimation, while there are some things that can be done to help these kids to cope, to, quote, make better decisions, there is a supernatural event that has to take place in this child's heart that will change them and will turn them almost on a dime. I've seen it with my own eyes. From a terror to a delight, from a hater to a lover, from disobedient and rebellious to absolutely delightful. And that thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not underestimate for a second the power of God unto salvation and to change somebody who's been traumatized and bruised and wounded to being healed, whole, and loving. There is hope. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.